Hello, welcome. Welcome to Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. It is May the 20th, and we're almost through May. And if it's your first time listening to this podcast, sermon, teaching, message, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the website. Within this website, there is I put devotionals throughout the week. Got a few Bible studies on here. I think the last one too we did was in Genesis and Matthew. I haven't posted any new ones yet. I'm still praying on direction on what God wants me to teach on next. If you have any suggestions, you can always email them to me. Or if you have my phone number, you can text them. If you're on my Facebook, you can send me a Facebook message. If this is your first time listening, we've been going through spiritual warfare, and actually I'm working on the 22nd part of that message. I haven't finished it yet, so we're going to kind of take a break from spiritual warfare somewhat. I'm always preaching on spiritual warfare because I believe that is a topic that is not truly taught. What you normally see, you see those that will ignore it and not speak on it, and you will see those that will, when they do speak on it, they don't teach it right. They don't teach it through the scripture. They add their interpretation instead of looking at what God's word says. So we're kind of taking a break from that today, or this week. The message that the Lord has given me, the title simply is, let me just roll up here and look at it. What do you allow to consume your life the most? That is the title. What do you allow to consume your life the most? We'll be in Job 1 through 22. And of course, you guys have been following this ministry. You're already aware of, the spiritual warfare series that we're doing. And I pray that is helping. I'm praying that you're is kind of opening your eyes more to things around you. We are in the world period, but I'm here in America, so especially here in America, the moral decline, it's been on a moral decline for a long period of time, and we're on a rapid course. It is getting worse and worse, and guess what? It will get worse and worse. Most of your preachers, pastors, evangelists, or teachers, they are not proclaiming the truth. They want to be popular, so they compromise God's word to bring the masses in. Everybody professes to be a Christian to a degree or another, but what are they talking about when they say Christianity? You really have to ask and have them define Christianity. And a ton of salvation messages on here on that, but you can find one of the salvation messages that I have on this website, and you will find out exactly through God's word what it means to be a child of God and to be a child of Satan. But today, or this week, we're looking at Job 1 through 22. Remember, the title of this message for this week is, what do you allow to consume your life the most? Let's read Job 1. It says, there was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job. And the man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen. 500 she asses and very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feast in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three daughters to eat and to drink with them. It was so, when the days of the feasting were gone about, Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offering according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This did Job continually. And then there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves for the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, hence comest thou. And Satan answered the Lord, said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, has I considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fear God and eschew evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, do Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him, about his house, about all he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee in thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he had is in thy power, and only upon himself, but put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when the sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elders' brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them, and the Sebans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was speaking, there also came in also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, it burned up the sheep, and the servants consumed them, and I am only I escape alone to tell thee. While he was still yet was speaking, there came another and said, the cherubims came out of their bands and fell upon the camels and carried away them. Yea, slay the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escape alone to tell thee. While he was speaking, there also another said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating, drinking wine in their elders' brothers' house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness. He smote the four corners of the house. It fell up on the young men, and they are dead, and I only escape alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down onto the ground, and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return. Thither the Lord gave, and the Lord have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. Guide and direct as you see fit. Holy Spirit, move here, move in the lives of the listeners that are listening to this today and in the future. God, you know where they're at in their life. You know what's going on. You know what challenges they are facing. You know what struggles are tearing away at them. God, we lift them up to you, Lord. We know that within your will, in your design, your will be done. This life can be challenging. It can rattle us to our very core. But if our core is centered on you, the anchor of our hope within these storms, we shall not be moved. Even the wind may blow, the rain will pour, the hurricanes and tornadoes will rip everything around us. Safely within your presence, we shall not be moved. Like a tree by the river, our roots should be firmly embedded in your word. For you are truth, and within your truth, there is peace. Within your truth, there is peace. There is love. There is joy. There's a perseverance to the very end. The devil cannot do nothing with somebody that keeps pressing on when everything is falling apart. And how do we do that? We do that in the name of Jesus Christ and firmly planting our roots in His Word. Prayer as a battle cry every day to center our life on the only truth, that rock of our salvation, that fortress of our hope, that fortress that we can be in, that He will keep us. That doesn't mean our life won't be hard. It just means God will be there for us through it all. This life is only temporary. A whole life of carrying our cross in this life is nothing compared to one day in hell. We get so fixated on our daily activities, so fixated on the struggles and challenges of this life, we lose focus that tomorrow could be our last. I pray that everybody here is a child of God, and that when they die, their best life will begin with Jesus. If they're not, then their worst life. This is their best life now. If they don't know Jesus, or if they have rejected Jesus, they love their sin more than following Jesus. They rather to live in their darkness and call it light, and darkness is still darkness regardless of what we call it. Only Jesus is light, and light will repel darkness. We are not supposed to love our sin. But oh, how I see many out there that are professing to know Jesus and they love their sin more, and preachers are endorsing them, encouraging them. Oh, Lord, we pray for them people, because what's waiting for them, they're not even ready for it. What's waiting for them on the other side is not heaven, but hell. And those that teach this false gospel of you can do whatever you want and still be saved will fill the flames of hell one day. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember the title, and that's just asked to take home here, is what do you allow to consume your life the most? That is the question, and that's what I want to start with, and that's what I want to end with. What do you allow to consume your life the most? Here we have Job. He is from the land of Oz, and he has a big family. 7 sons and 3 daughters, 10 children all together. Such a huge family, right? And he was considered a wealthy man. We get that from verse 3, where it says his substance, which is referring to the 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses. And in the scripture tells us the very great household, so that this was the man was the greatest all the men of the east, meaning he was highly wealthy. And a side note, when we look at the book of Job, most scholars put the book of Job as the oldest book in the Bible, and I don't profess to be a Bible scholar. I do as much research as I can, not as much I would like to do. But I would agree with man, they're a whole lot smarter than I am. When I look at the book of Job, it looks to be the oldest book in the Bible. This means it predates the law. That's the law of Moses, the first 10 commandments. And that's just a little side note. But here, Job, he's a man, a big family. And up to this point, we assume that his health was intact, and his health was also good. But didn't Job let all of the things that God has given him, the material things, as we would say today, consume him? The answer here is simply no. And how do we know this? How do we? Because he is praying for his children. He looks around him and he looks at his children and his heart is broken. Because he sees that their hearts are not firmly solid where they need to be. And where was harsh Job? What was he praying for? What was he wanting them? Well, we can get that in verse 1. The Bible says that, and that man, that is Job, was perfect. And he was upright. And here's the catch here. And the one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, keep in mind, this was before the law, right? So the law was not given yet. So he wasn't being, I guess you could say, he didn't have that standard yet. That comes later with Moses. And from that perspective, he was perfect and upright, meaning his fear of God and his distasteful of evil, meaning he was distancing himself from evil, was perfect and right. Now, when we say perfect and right, do not get it confused. And it started raining, guys. So you guys are going to hear rain from my home. That came out of nowhere. Go figure, because it was hot this morning. I was mowing, and now it is pouring down rain. So I guess it will help the grass grow more. I ain't looking for that. I don't like to mow, but. But he was Job had sin in his life. Don't think Job was sinless. There was only one man that was sinless. That is Jesus Christ. To say that Job was sinless would be contradicting a bunch of scripture. But what I want to bring to your attention is Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. So Job had sin in his life, and we can speculate what that was, but at this point it's not really that important. What we want to focus on here is, what was he perfect and upright in? He was perfect and upright because he feared God and he distanced himself. He eschewed evil. He distanced himself from evil. Now, I've talked about fear of God, fear of the Lord, and went during our spiritual warfare series. We went in deep into fear. I think we just finished up on. No, it was actually maybe two down on that on fear. And I encourage you guys to go check that. But the fear of God. When we talk about the fear of God, what we can really look at this is a reverence for God. His reverence should invade every part of our life. And that's what was going with Job. He feared God, and God invaded every aspect of his life. There was a reverence. His lifestyle reflected God. Everything he did was for the glory of God. He let that consume his life. Do you let the fear of the Lord to consume your life? That's the question here. Do you let the fear of the Lord consume your life? This reverence invade every aspect of your life? Do you strive to distance yourself from evil? You have that reverence for a holy and righteous God, right? Now, when we this that is this here is the key to, you know, of what consumes us and pushes us is that fear of the Lord. See, when we have that firm foundation of that reverence, and it is invading every aspect of our life when the challenges of this life come. And it will rattle us. It rattled Job. It will rattle you, and it will rattle me. That's just how it is. Our flesh will be rattled. But with that firm foundation of the fear of the Lord, we won't be rattled too long. Here, when we look at the historical account of Job, he is about to go through a test, a trial, a series of trials. He's about to lose his wealth and his children. I want to tell you, Heather and I, we don't have children. But I've known people who've lost their child or children. And it's devastating. That's just one child. Job lost 10 in just a blink of an eye. And not only that, he lost his wealth too. Lost his money, lost his children. And what did Job do? And remember, the test was for him to curse God, right? Verse 11 says, But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he had. He will curse thee to thy face. That was what was Satan said. If you remove your hand, take his wealth, his children, he will curse you, deny you. But what did Job do? Verse 20. Job 22:22 says, and Job rose, he rent his mantle, he shaved his head, he fell down on the ground and worshipped. Oh man, that right there rattles me. I don't know if I had, if I had children and they were taken overnight, if I could do what Job done. I don't know if I could still worship my God. I'm just being real. That's hard. And then here's Job in his worship. Here is his cry. He said, naked came out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all of this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Meaning, in all this, what he's going through, he did not curse God. He did not deny God. He worshipped God. God is growing Job here. God is testing Job here. And God knew that Job could take this challenge, this test, this... Why? Why did God know that Job could take this? The fear of the Lord. It invaded every aspect of his life. This is what was consuming him. Not his family, not his wealth. And later, if you keep on reading, not even his health. He humbled himself for a mighty God. He placed his eyes on the Almighty God within the pain and the loss that he was experiencing. I don't know about you, I've lost jobs before, and a lot of times it's because of my own fault. I have a big mouth. My wife would agree. Over the year, the Lord been working on me to keep this mouth shut as much as possible because of God's grace and mercy, right? He's teaching me how to listen more and talk less, and it used to not be that way. To pray and worship more and talk less. I want to tell you, I'm learning more on this and seeking His will, is that we need to pray more, worship more, and talk less. I still struggle with this, I'm not going to lie, but I'm getting better. Thank God for that. He gets the glory and praise for that, not me. See, Job didn't do nothing wrong here. This was just a test that God was giving Job. And if you read through the whole book of Job, you would see that Job, his faith, press on. It's not a pretty faith here, because you know he challenges God. God does answer him. Shuts him up. But in the end, God came through. In this case, God gave him back what was taken, material wise. But even in this life, if God wouldn't have gave him all that back, heaven, is the greatest reward, right? I guarantee you now, Job is in heaven, and one day us as children of God, we will see Job. But when we, in one of my, you know, just reading through Job and studying through Job over the years, it's one of my favorite Old Testament books in the Bible, because I draw a lot of strength from it. When I'm going through things in this life, I look, of course, at Psalms. Psalms is probably my all-favorite book in the Bible, because there's a lot of strength in, of course, all Scripture, right? But I really draw to Psalms. There's pain and there's joy and there's strength within the Psalms. But what separates Job more than anything is his fear of the Lord. His foundation was solidly laid on the fear of the Lord. Remember, that's that reverence for the Lord, to strive to walk in His way and to walk in His life and His way. Psalms 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endures forever." Proverbs 14:27 says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death." Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord tends to life. He that had it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." Hebrews 12:28-29 says, "Wherefore receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Amen. And let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptable," right, "with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Amen. Do we understand that our God is a all-consuming fire? I want to tell you today, when I look at majority of the churches, especially here in America, the fear of the Lord is missing. They're professing to know God, but do they really do? They don't want to recognize that we serve a holy and righteous God. He is not okay with our sin. Sin is becoming normalized, guys, here in America. And of course, all through the world, but I am my ministry centered here in America. And And those tending the churches are okay with it. They're seeking men that will be okay with their sin. One example of this being normalized in America is the homosexuality and the transgender. Look at homosexuality. Look at the transgender. It's a revolution. Yes, I call this a revolution. From Hollywood to our business, to our schools, to our homes, from our television programs that we watch. We're being inundated with this propaganda. Our children are being inundated with this propaganda. If you got a child or children, be involved in their life, from their school life to their social life. Do not let the school or anybody else train your child. Lead your family in Bible studies. Don't let that intimidate you. Have that personal time with your children. We need to guard our children. Guard their life. Satan wants our children and he's getting them. Be involved in their life. Even watch what churches you go to, because they're indoctrinating the children in this homosexual and transgender revolution. God will not tolerate a nation that glorifies homosexuality and transgender. A nation that thumbs her nose up to the sanctity of marriage. God's word is clear. Marriage is between a man and a woman. There's no wiggle room here. But oh, look at our churches compromising this position. And I want to tell you, it will get worse. Why? Because they have lost the fear of God. They could care less about fear of God. And you're at a church today that they don't fear God. They don't recognize the law. They don't recognize their sinful nature. They think they're okay. They keep doing things in their life and they're saying it is okay. It goes clearly against scripture and the pastor's up there okaying it. He won't address it. I want to tell you, silence in the pulpit is a silence is a answer. If the preacher don't want to preach on homosexuality or transgender, he don't want to preach on fornication or adultery, he don't want to preach against about a lifestyle where we're supposed to live a holy life, he's not preaching against demonic that we are indating ourselves with daily through the internet, through our television programs, he's got problems because he don't want to shake the boat, he don't want to rattle the cage. I want to tell you, he ain't doing nothing except aiding in Satan's movement. He needs to step down. God's grace and mercy. I want to tell you, if we truly had an Acts church today, all the fakeness within our church, people would drop dead for lying to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Remember Ananias and Sapphira and Acts. Fakeness. They wanted to look like something they weren't. They weren't. That's not even probably a word. Something they are not. That's better. And guess what? They dropped dead. Thank God for His grace and mercy, because people will be dropping dead left and right in churches, and we would have to take a bulldozer to bury their bodies in graves because they're fakeness. They are not doing themselves no justice at all. They really think they're good, but God sees within their lives. He sees their lifestyle, and He is not okay with that. If they're doing that, and there ain't no grieving of the Holy Spirit, then Hebrews clearly tells us that they are not His. They are the child of Satan. And Paul would say they won't even inherit the kingdom of God because they love their sin more. And that pastor up there feeding them wherever he is, He loves his sin. That why you don't think he's preaching on sin, specifically calling it out, because he loves his sin too. Oh, we pray for their souls, for when they die, they don't get everlasting life. They get everlasting damnation. And that breaks my heart. The fear of the Lord. I hope before you leave, you recognize the importance of this fear of the Lord. Job was walking right with God. He was a wealthy man with a big family, good health, and just like that, all was removed by God. God allows Satan to touch his life, to remove his wealth, to remove his children, to remove eventually his health. And what did Job do? Did Job curse God? No. Did Job say, it's just got too hard now. All these years I've been serving you. And guess what? I guess I was wrong, God. I don't want to serve you no more. God, you don't exist. No. Job said God is... He stood on the truth, right? Job didn't say, God, you're no good no more. I don't want to follow you. What did Job do? It said, just look at those verses here in verse 20 and 21 in Job 1. It said, Job rose, he rent his mantle, he shaved his head, he fell down onto the ground, and he worshiped. Oh, can you worship him through them storms in life? Can you worship him? Can you let worship control your life? When we worship God, we say, you are mighty, I am not. You are strong, I am weak. You are mighty, I am weak. Take over my life, God. Be the center of my life, God. In the end, nothing matters except you as the center of my life. Naked came out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all of this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. That's intense. I encourage you to read through the whole book of Job and keep this verse in mind through it. Highlight it after, you know, and go back to it. And this is Job's mindset. This is Job's heart. This is his heartbeat for God. His life radiate with a fear of the Lord. This reverence for the Almighty God to walk in his light. Amen. It consumed his very life. Nothing else consumed his life. His eyes were firmly planted on God. That's the mindset, right? James 1, verse 2 through 4 says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entirely wanting nothing. Count it all joy, meaning do the math. When we're going through the many trials, count it joy. What is joy? Joy is simply Jesus over you. That's J, Jesus over you. Jesus takes the center place. And how does joy come about? Fear of the Lord. You're going through the pain and challenges of this life. Count it joy. Do you count it joy? I mean, you look beyond yourself and say, God, this is happening. And whatever reason it may be, whatever situation is going on, I will stand fast and firm. For you are God, I am not. I know you have a purpose for this situation, a purpose for the struggle, a purpose for this pain, and God, you are in control. He is in control. He always will be, and we are not. Do we get this? Job got this right. He said, naked I came in this world, naked I leave. this physical life, when it's all over and done, we will continue our new life forever in one of two places: everlasting life, heaven; everlasting damnation, hell. Those are the two options. I pray that everyone that's hearing this message and the sounding of my voice, and it's a message, I am a message from God, just letting you guys know that is your options, heaven or hell. And I pray that you have chosen Jesus Christ into your life, and that because you have this fear of the Lord that saturates your life, this reverence for the Lord, that nothing in this life matters more than God. See, when we seek this world, when we seek the joy of this world will leave you empty. You let this world consume you, it will, I promise you. You seek the joy of this world, you will be miserable. But oh, our joy does not come from the world, right? Our joy comes from the Lord. Joy, right? That's Jesus over you. He's the center, should be the center of our life. He's what should consume our life, right? The center is the fear of the Lord. And when we center our lives in the fear of the Lord, we know that in this life we will have trials and we will have temptations. But oh, we can be on that solid rock, right? God is making a masterpiece of all the broken pieces. He's turning our mess into a message. However, the pain is real and the struggle is real. But we realize that God is using that challenge. He's using that challenge and that situation to shape us, to grow us. Praise His holy name. Just think how many sermons and teachings have been done on the book of Job. Many. God used Job in a mighty way. And guess what? He can use you in a mighty way too. During those challenges and those trials in your life. The only way how He shapes us for His service is through the challenges that we face. In closing this out, do you remember that initial question at the beginning of this sermon? And this is the question I want to leave you guys with, and pray that you strongly reflect on this. What do you allow consume your life the most? When we look at Job, right? What consumed Job's life the most? Was it his family? Was it his wealth? Was it his health? No, Job did not let his family consume him. And Job did not let his wealth consume him or his health. The fear of the Lord, the reverence for the Lord is what consumed him. See, when we lay this foundation, all right, the fear of the Lord, we're getting our mind right. Think back to James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy. And the only way we can have that joy in those trials of our faith, that is trusting in Jesus Christ, is to have a reverence for His truth. Knowing something is going to come out of that challenge. And I know it can be hard within the thing that you're going through right now. To say, how can God make something good out of this? How can God's glory be amplified through this trial, through this challenge, through this situation? I want to tell you, He is God and we are not. When we're going through those challenges in our life, and I'm pretty sure when Job was going through what he was experiencing, and if you read through all of Job, it gets gritty. He has questions for God. He's in pain. He's praying for death. Can you imagine to be in such misery that you're praying that God would just remove you? And at points he said, why did I even come into this world? Why didn't you just let me die before I was born? He's dealing See, God don't discourage us asking difficult questions. He encourages us to keep pressing on and to ask those questions. Now, if we may get answered, we may not get answered, we may not like. Maybe He is trying to answer us and we choose not to listen to Him because it's not the answer that we're wanting to hear. Sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is no, and sometimes the answer is you have to wait for it. And as Americans, we only answer that most Americans want is the answer yes. And that's universally if you look across and you have a baby and they start, and that's, it don't have to be a child here in America, it could be a baby, wherever, you start telling them no, they don't want to hear that word no. Why do you think, you ever thought why they don't want to hear the word no? Because it doesn't please their flesh. They want that piece of candy, or they want to go do what they want to do, and you tell them no, most of them are going to pitch a fit. Why? Because we don't like to hear the word no. Even as a baby. And we don't like even hearing the word no as the adults. We want to hear yes, yes. And we don't even like to wait. Look at our world today. Everything is so fast, instant. When we order a package through the mail, we expect it to be here very next day. When we go to a place to shop and we have to wait in line, we are impatient because we want it to be done now. You look across, you see it. I saw it today when I went to, you know, town. People are impatient because it's our human nature. And when God says wait, we don't want to wait. But He tells us to wait for a reason. It is for our good. And when He tells us no, it is for our good. And when He tells us yes, it is for our good. And when we start understanding that, when we're going through things in this life, it gets more bearable, more tolerable, right? Because when we start getting that mindset, we are centering our mind in the mind of Christ. And that is, and we only can do that through the fear of the Lord. And I pray today that you have that fear of the Lord. I pray that you can be like Job when he says, "Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Thither the Lord give, and the Lord have taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Can you say that right now? Can you look over your situation and see? Yeah, it's hard. But it won't last forever. It's only temporary. You may have to live in that situation till the day you move on to your next life. And it'll be okay. Because your next life is going to be your best life if you are a child of God. Because if we're blessed for 100 years, and most of us won't even see 100 years, on the scope of that, can't even compare to eternity. We really get bogged down focusing on that. 100 years, if we're blessed to live that long, ain't nothing compared to what's waiting for us as children of God. And Job really got that. He realized he came into this world with nothing, and he's leaving this world. And he's focusing here on the material things. He knows all these material things around me, the situation that I'm going through, it's only temporary. The Lord will make a way. The Lord will provide one way or the other, if it's in this lifetime or the next. And I pray that you have that mindset, that perseverance, right? A pressing on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just finish this message out, God, that you just, we pause and we ponder. Pray that we have this question written down, because it's highly important. What do we allow to consume our life the most? That question is between you and God right now. Getting real with God. And you already know the answer to this. You know, when you look at your life, you know what is consuming your life. It's not going to be a great mystery. It may be a tough pill to swallow. Nevertheless, it's a pill that needs to be taken. Lord, the fear of the Lord, they reverence. Lord, I pray that we seek to fear you, that reverence, that worship. Not just in those points in time where life is going so smooth, but through the valleys, the challenges that each and every one of us may be going through right now, or will go through sometime in our life. These challenges and these situations can be long. They can feel like they will never end. But that's just a lie from the enemy. This life is so short. It is a vapor compared to eternity. Wherever we're at is where you need us to be right now. If not, we wouldn't be there. And that can be a challenge. I know I wrestle with that a lot. I wish I was somewhere else. I wish I was in a full-time ministry somewhere where I'm just teaching and preaching God's word and counseling all through the week. But I understand I'm here for a reason. You are God, I am not. And there's maybe something that you're going through right now that you're struggling with. Know that you're there for a reason. God has you there for a reason. It may be a struggle, but think of Job. And I pray it's not that bad. I pray that you don't have to experience that test that Job had to go through. Man, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, to lose all my kids, which I don't have kids, but if I had a lot of kids, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I wouldn't wish the loss of wealth and loss of my health, all of that combined, the loss of social support system, which Job pretty much had lost. His friends were no help, and his wife was no help. He had to sit there in his loss of his children, his wealth and his health, and had to get his center his mind more on God than that pain. But his foundation was solid. He had that fear of the Lord radiating in every aspect of his life. And if we can get there, if we can get our minds firmly in the mindset that Job had, we can count everything that we're going through, all the challenges, all the situations, all the struggles, we can count that joy. We can have peace within the storms of this life. We can be firmly rooted in that rock that is Jesus Christ. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Once again, you can reach out to me through this website. You can send me an email. If you do send me an email through this website, just make sure you just put the, Wake Up America Church Ministry. I'm thinking about changing that title soon to a different one. Got to do some work on this website. But just trying to find time to do that. It's hard. You can reach through me through Facebook. If you're not on my friend, send me a friend request. If you send me a friend request, I get friend requests. Reference this website out. If you're not referencing this website out, if I don't know you personally, I will not add you on my Facebook. That's just how I... There's too many people that try to hack into accounts and all that. I have a Twitter account. I don't get on it much, but you can reach me through Twitter the best way. And, of course, some of you guys have my phone number, so you can always text me. What consumes you? I pray that is the fear of the Lord. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day or night. Bye.